But that's not a voice that you should heed or you should listen to, because it keeps you defeated and walks you through this cycle yet over and over and over. Because if you're listening to the voice of condemnation, true transformation never truly comes to your life, and you will find yourself cycled through rededication, backsliding, rededication. Salvation is yours. You've already got that, right? You went through that. But then you'll start just flipping and flopping. I mean, think of that, because that's exactly what it looks like to me, a wheel. You ever seen one of those wheels that the hamster runs in, and all of a sudden he loses footing? What happens? Wah, 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 right? It just throws him around in that wheel. And that's exactly what this thing does to us. If we're sitting here running a good race, and then Satan sticks a stick in there and gets us tripped up, and we tumble end over end, right? Then we just lose our way instead of seeing what does Scripture say? It says, though I fall, I will rise. I will get back up. That's the simplicity of the gospel. If you fall, get back up. Continue the journey. Don't let what happened, don't let this circumstance take the focus off this race that you see, as Paul instructs us, to run with everything that we are, right? Like, I mean, the way I explain it to people, Satan has nothing but a little stick, dude. We sometimes build him up in this big, powerful thing that he is, that he walks in all authority and power, and we'll even use scriptures if we're not careful, saying, well, he was given dominion over the earth and this, that, and the other. Well, go read Genesis. You and I were given dominion right over the earth. You go read the Gospels, and it says how that Satan was made the footstool under our feet as well as Jesus' feet. That's the truth. That's what we walk from. All Satan's got is a little stick to keep you distracted. He's a cut-off withering branch that's coming to nothing, right? His end is already finished. We already know where he's going. He already knows where he's going, right? And I even hear people get, you know, like, we get so weird as Christians sometimes. Like, if he's going to remind you of your past, remind him of the future. He knows his future.
Right.
Walk in the moment. Walk in the authority and the truth that you have here in this moment, and put him where he belongs now, right? We don't need to give Satan the time of day. We don't need to talk to him, right? Like, we get so distracted, because what's happening when I'm having a conversation with him? I'm not having a conversation with the Father, right? It's simply a distraction, something that's taking my eyes off. I mean, again, understand simply who the serpent is. He's the deceiver, right? He will do everything at any corner, at any way that he can to take your attention off of God. That's it. And when your attention is off God, you're not following. You're walking in fear. Because fear is the opposite of faith or follow, right? So anytime that we're not faithing or following, then what are we doing? We're living in fear. We're living in things that we think we can control. Mm-hmm. And we have given up control, right? That's another thing. When I see the message of the gospel, and God has really moved on me this way, like a presentation of the gospel, like, my entire life has been tossed out as a ticket to heaven. There you go. Your salvation is a ticket to heaven. No, your salvation is a ticket to a life lived on this earth, empowered by the Holy Spirit to move not only in your life, but to reproduce in the lives of others, to spread this thing, to create a tree and now bloom to an orchard. That's the message of the gospel. You know, not this, here's your ticket, get out of hell free card, right? Because if I just... Yeah, exactly. Like, we don't need a fire insurance policy. We have the fire insurance policy. But not only do we have the fire insurance policy, we have the provision. We have all of those things that God is the protection. Like, all that comes with it. But again, like I use that word, the self-serving gospel. Listen to your prayers. I really want you to listen to what comes out of your mouth. I mean, I went through a time in my life where I just really had to pay attention to what I was saying. And I was like, you know, like, we ask for God to, hey, I'm going from here to there. Will you watch over me? Will you protect me? Do you realize that that's self-serving? I'm asking God to do something for me. And I know some people are like, I get a sour taste in their mouth when I say that. Look at this. The word says that I will put my angels in charge over you to protect you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So how can I turn that to where it's not a self-serving? God, I thank you. I thank you that that's the truth of what you said. So I thank you that as I get in this car and I head out, your angels are all around me. They're watching over me. They're doing the thing. And that takes it out of a I need to I thank you for what you give, right? And Paul instructs us in that way, in your prayers and supplications with thanksgiving, right? And your verbiage alone will change the way that your heart is fashioned and the way that you move forward in your actions. And so, again, pay attention to the way that you say things. If you're asking for things that God has already promised, then switch your verbiage and say, God, I thank you. I thank you for those things that you have already promised, that you have already given me. And what you will find is in those places where you're not in a moment of lack, those same prayers apply when you are. Mm-hmm. Because guess what? When my barns are full, when my vats are overflowing, when my kids have food on the table, when I have all the things that I need, I thank you, Father, that you are my provider. I thank you that you have given me everything I need to sustain this day. Guess what? Tomorrow I lose my job. Like, all these things fall apart. Life shows up. Circumstance hits you right in the mouth, right? Guess what? Thank you, Father, that you are my provision. Thank you, Father, that you provide everything that I need. The prayer didn't change. Did life? Absolutely. But the prayer didn't. What does that look like? That looks like a foundation of the word in my life. So it doesn't matter what's coming at me, whether I'm living in the full or if I'm living in the lack. It doesn't change the truth of the gospel, right? And what that can do is now put a position inside of me to continue to follow and never give place to fear showing up in my life. And that's what I'm telling you is the message of the gospel. That is when you present the gospel to somebody, man, get away from that. You're a big sinner. You need to change your ways. You need to give your life to Christ. Bring people into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, understanding that he loved them so much, that he had such a heart for them, a destiny, a plan, a purpose, that he made a way through his son for them to come into that, to walk in the fullness of who God is in our lives, and to walk in that in empowerment, no matter what this life brings. That's what is on the other side of this salvation prayer for you. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, that will change the entire trajectory of that Christian's walk from day one, right? Instead of this thing that I've seen and I've grown up in of a religious system that wants to look and point and highlight and put a spotlight on the sin of our lives and make it the biggest thing. And it's like, that's what God should be. That's the place that God should hold. Let's throw out the fireworks. Let's put the spotlights on the name of Jesus, the empowerment of God on your life, not looking at the sin and focusing on all these things to try to sway you into the kingdom of God so you can grab a ticket so you don't burn, right? I just got really real, you know? But like, we need to start doing this properly. Mm-hmm. There are people out there that are hopeless, that are dying, that need to know the love of a father. They don't need to know how bad of a sinner you are because they are well aware of how bad of a sinner they are. They're already aware. Yeah. They are beat up every day in fear and condemnation and guilt. And yes, this touches my soul when I talk about these things because people are hurting. People are dying. And all we want to do is point fingers and say, well, look at your sin, and now you need a Savior. Why don't you just point at the Savior? Mm-hmm. Let's just point at the Savior and say there is something that can come into your life that can take all of this away, that will lead you out of this place of despair and hopelessness and suicidal thoughts and drug addiction and all of these things. There's a God that loves you so much, he'll put himself inside of you and become your strength that you can walk away from all of those things in your life that so easily set you aside and keep you beat up and beat down. That's the gospel, right? That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to get this, church. We need to wake up. We need to understand what God is in our lives, who God is in us and through our lives, right? And in that way, fear does not have a place. When fear does show up, I mean, do you recognize, according to the word, fear is one of the most talked about subjects all through? Do not fear, do not fear, do not fear. How many times have he said that? Over 350 that I know of, right? Over 350 times God tells us, do not do that. Why? Because he knows that if you're putting your focus in fear, you have just locked your focus on the Father. Mm-hmm. When you start to fear, you stop following. But the truth is the same of the opposite. When you continue to follow, you will not fear. Right? And what does he say in his word? Again, this is a scripture we touched on this last week, was if you love me, you will obey my commandments. And again, that's another scripture. But boy, you get a theological mindset on that. And we can twist that up real good. Mm-hmm. If you love me, it's not, if you love me, you will obey my commandments, right? It's not that. It's if you truly love me, if you position your heart to know and accept my love for you, guess what? You'll walk out everything that I've called you to. Why? Because I've put my Holy Spirit inside of you. You have continued to keep your eyes and to follow, and I will strengthen you and empower you from within, and you will walk away and leave behind all those things that break the commandments that I have given you. That's the truth of the gospel. You know, not this crazy business where we twist it like God's got this big stick up there, and if you don't do this or if you do that, that's not who God is. That's not who he is. And I can grab some single line scriptures and make it look like that. I see it happen all the time. That's why I have to get into the word, right? Get the whole book inside of you. Understand the heart of God as you see through the Old Testament into the New Testament. Get the heart of God and who he is. And what I know according to his word is that he never leaves me or forsakes me. That he desires good always for my life. That he has come to give me life and life abundantly. Mm-hmm. And anything outside of those things, it's not from him. So I'm not going to blame him. I'm not going to say it's your fault because I'm having to go through this, that, or the other. I thank you that you are my rescue, mm-hmm. that you are my fortress, that you are my refuge, that you are my way through this situation, that you are my way out of this. And I thank you that even in the midst of it, even though the mud's up to my neck, Father, I thank you that from this place, even you can rescue me. Instead of becoming overwhelmed in anxiety and fear and worry and I'm up to my neck, oh gosh, I've only got a head left until I'm completely under, right? Like, we get so crazy with this sometimes, not understanding the truth of what the word says. We are empowered by the truth of the gospel. And if you're not, get into the word and know its truth. If I draw near to you, you will draw near to me. And he didn't say in 5 minutes, in 5 weeks, in 5 months. That's the thing about God. You rarely see him put timestamps on anything. Because often, and what I've learned through my own life, often the timing of God is based on you. It's how you react. It's how you decide, I'm going to grab a hold of this thing and not let go. And guess what? You'll see those fruits come to bear in your life much quicker than they were. Why? Because you have finally found your foundation in Christ and you decide, I'm not going to let go of this thing. I'm going to walk through it like I never have before. And I thank you, Father, that you're my strength and you're my power to do so. And guess what? You see things show up. Or you've sat here and fallen and gotten back up and fallen and gotten back up and went off the left field and repented and come back and did all this. And you find yourself doing that over and over and over. And you find yourself questioning God and say, why aren't you showing up? Why aren't you doing this? The whole time we've been waiting on God, he's only been waiting on you. He's only been waiting on you to say, man, I have given you the truth. The truth is set before you this whole entire time. I've set pastors and teachers and preachers and prophets, and they've been speaking this too to build you up and to encourage you. Yet you're not heeding the truth. You're looking at the world. You're listening to its advice. You're listening to the fear, voice of fear whisper in your ear, and you're giving it place. Stop. And I know that sounds so simple, right? Just stop. Again, I would never try to give you advice or teach you or encourage you along the way if I wasn't walking this out myself, right? And we see that again according to the word. The enemy is defeated by the word of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. The word of our testimony is a place where you can say, this is not a brag on me. This is a brag on God, because outside of him, I couldn't do any of this, right? I have been through circumstance in my life that some people would shudder at. I get it, but it couldn't change who I was. Did I let it affect me? I did. And that's when I learned better, right? That is when I went in and shut the doors and found my own cave. Mm-hmm. And I did that for too many years. Those were years that I missed out pursuing and spreading the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because I was so inward focused on what life had done to me that I went in and I shut the doors and I hid out for a while. I had to repent of that, you know? I had to repent, not because of sin. I had to repent because I wasn't following the truth of who God called my life to be. I wasn't fulfilling my end of the bargain that said, when I say yes to your son, I choose to die. I choose to lay my life down, and I choose to allow yours to live through my life in a way that people will see me and be brought to you. That's the message of the gospel. That's what your life is as a Christian. But you are so, if we're not careful, we're so focused on how life's going for us, with us, and all of these things, listening to the improper voices, and it's only keeping us in that same stagnant pond that will never bring forth life, right? But if you allow the truth of the gospel to come into your life to bring transformation, and we are giving simplistic tools in this, after the moment of salvation, we are instructed to take captive thoughts. That's where it all begins. It begins in your mind. Anything that you have to do with, I don't care what it is, it all started right here. Because when it comes in here, and then you allow it to come here, and then it moves into the action, it becomes who you are, right? And that's why he tells us, there was an old way that you used to think. It died, right? That old person that drove you, that sinful nature that was in you, that pushed you, that drove you to do all those things, to think all of these ways, guess what? God did a supernatural thing. Go read in Colossians 2. He did a supernatural thing when you said yes to him. He circumcised out that nature to which you were born in, right? And some people get confused about this. Go read Romans, the book of Romans, and they'll say, look what it says. We are sinful. We are bad. For all have fallen short, you know, and all these things. Yes. You were that. That's the first part of the story. That's why you must continue. And what does we see as we roll in from 7 to 8? But there is an answer. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So now, what do? We walk this thing out. We continue in the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit that is inside of us. And guess what? The sinner is no longer my identity. Never. Not again are we called a sinner. We are called righteous and holy and one with Christ, right? Joint heirs, a son of God. That's what he calls us. And if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves still relating back, even speaking out, I'm just this, I'm just that. No, you are a child of the King. You are righteous and holy in his sight. Why? Because of what his son did on the cross. And you said yes. You agreed, right? God did his part, and when you come into agreement with his, then you must continue to do your part, continually following. You know, again, reading the Gospels, that is one of the things that sticks out most to me of all. Like, Jesus didn't give this crazy, the message of the Gospel, it wasn't some crazy, I'm going to do this for you, I'm going to do that for you, this is what's going to come to your life. He simply just come up and he said to almost every one of the 12, follow me. Mm-hmm. Two words. Follow me. And again, I hear Jesus today speaking those same two words. And if you let your head get in the way and all the thoughts and all this stuff, you'll start like, oh, but I've been trying and this is where I've been messing up, or I don't even know what that means. I've never even been there. Like, just pick up the Bible and follow. Like, that's the simplicity of the gospel. Yes, there are other things you can do. I encourage you to get plugged into a local church or to get plugged into a home group gathering or a teaching somewhere where there's a body of Christ that you can get plugged into. But also make sure that those things agree with what the Word of God says. Mm-hmm. If they don't, just stick with the Word of God, you know, because this is your truth, because this will never lead you astray. Because when you read this, what you're doing is you're bringing the Word inside and now allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal its truth, right? And I mean, I don't discount listening to pastors or teachers or prophets or evangelists. I don't discount listening to them because they bring words that God has for encouragement and building up the body of Christ. But not one is a greater teacher than the Holy Spirit from within, you know? And I stand in one of those seats. So I take my place in humility. I would rather you spend 3 verses in the Bible than listen to me for an hour, because you will get more revelation and truth from the Holy Spirit in 3 verses from the truth of the Word of God than you'll hear me spew words for an hour. Because when he brings it to your life, you can't move it, right? It becomes a truth. You are established in it. And sometimes maybe You know, maybe somebody hadn't even understood this. I see people out there all the time. They listen to teacher after teacher after teacher. Like they've got, have you heard this guy? Have you heard this guy? Have you heard that girl? Like they consume their lives with teaching and they never touch the word. Mm-hmm. You know, that's dangerous. Mm-hmm. It's so dangerous. And I'm not saying that those pastors or preachers or teachers out there are bringing false gospels. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is that there's a greater truth among the truth of men, right? We're going to do the best that we can. As a matter of fact, I know what the scripture says in here. There's not many that should be teachers, right? Because there's an accountability that comes in our life that we must portray the words that God is saying through us. And I believe the Holy Spirit speaks through him, and I allow him to. But yet again, it does not over, it's not a step above the Holy Spirit in your life to you to just sit down in your closet at home, pull out that Bible and read what God has to say to you. And if you need to hear it audibly, say it out loud. Mm-hmm. You know? And sometimes that helps. Mm-hmm. That's how my wife reads. Every morning she does her Bible reading, it's out loud because her ears need to hear it too. You know? And I've been through that in my own life where there's time. Most of the time I don't read out loud, but there are sometimes I need to hear it out loud because it's a truth and I'm struggling to believe it in that moment. So I need to get it at every way I can, up here, in here, like every place that I can see the truth of God's word, I need to get it in for me. And again, kind of just touching back on my testimony and what that, when I'd set my time aside and going down there for those 3 weeks, now month, 6 weeks on the other side of that, God's faithfulness. And like one of them was my business. Like I closed my business December of last year. And I have not sold that. I've talked to probably 8 people. And they're like, yeah, we're interested. And then it just all falls through. It was just been like it was something that was becoming a burden. And I thought, I was practically giving this thing away, you know. And could not get a bite on selling my business out. And, I mean, that was, again, I'm making plans in the natural. That was going to be a supply for this time as we transition into full ministry, you know. And, like, that has been the testimony of my life. I have not had a job for now going on the 10th month. I've just been walking in ministry. And God has been completely faithful to provide for my life. You know? And that's such an amazing story. And we set up the end of last month. We did a garage sale. We were just like, let's see what we can do. So we did a little garage sale. My wife put out a deal on Facebook. And one person walked in that entire day. And they bought it. One guy showed up, you know, and to me, again, that's just a testimony of God's timing. Mm-hmm. I wish it would have sold 10 months ago, you know, but it didn't matter. And what I had to learn in the 10 months was trust him, mm-hmm. trust him to provide, you know, because I mean, we took on a mortgage payment with a business that provided well for it and it was good. But when you don't have that income anymore and you still have the mortgage payment, and of course now, I mean, everybody else knows what life is doing. Everything's going up. Insurance has gone up. Taxes have gone up. So my house payment increased by 35%, you know? And I'm thinking, dude, like, wow, you've really got to show up now, you know? And it's like not this place, like, I'm telling you, I've never been in a place of more peace in my entire life. And I can't express. I wish I could. I wish I could just let somebody feel what I feel in that moment. I can't express the gratitude in my heart to see God providing in ways I would have never seen it. You know? Mm-hmm. Like he has provided in ways that I would have never thought it would come through that avenue. And he's providing. And that was an answer to one of my prayers that I went down there. What about the business? That was the deal. And now it's sold. The doors are closed for good. I'm out, thank goodness. And like, we've got some provision again for the time. You know, it's just, God is so faithful. And what I learned through even this season was don't take your eyes off. Because I had circumstance showed up all along the way, you know. But God was just tempering my life in that way and just say, don't take your eyes off me. Don't. And I'm not. Do I have my moments? You bet. We all do, right? But again, even the greater truth of that, what do I see according to the word? Where it says, I'm becoming like the Son. Jesus called me to be perfect. Go read the 4 Gospels. Be perfect as I am perfect. And automatically we're like, yeah. We can't do that one. Then why did he put it there? Why did he put it there? Are you doing it now? No. But does that mean you need to stop? No. It means follow. Become more like the Son. Allow God to bring in righteousness and holiness into your life. Why? Because that's what he promised would come. If God is in you, that's the only thing you can become. Mm-hmm. Right? Because that's who he is. That's the only thing you can become. Because you died to what you were. You chose something different. You chose a new life. So now submit to the transformation that only God can bring to your life. And if you will do that in a way of not fearing, but simply following, you will find yourself in the middle of the biggest circumstances you've ever been in your life at peace. And that's amazing. Mm-hmm. And I can stand here today and say, I'm that guy. You know, that's my testimony for you guys today as an encouragement, because I do understand I wasn't always that guy. Mm-hmm. And I understand that there are other people out there that aren't that guy today. But I'm here to tell you, God can be that guy for you and create and cultivate in your life something you never thought possible. Mm-hmm. There is a hope and a security and a provision that God can provide for your life that you have never thought or imagined if you will only say yes and follow. That's all I got.
That was a good word. Good encouraging word. I wasn't raised in a Christian home, so I rode the church bus a lot. I had a praying grandma, and the church bus always found us.
Yep.
But when I was an adult and things, I always thought I was a Christian. Well, you know, I got saved as a kid, but I didn't have the tools to walk it out.
Right.
But God is faithful, and it's really amazing how he puts the people that you need into the places to lead and guide and show you the tools
right
over time. And it's layer by layer. You grow and evolve
right
through. Anyways, whenever I first started getting into the word for myself as an adult, I started in the Gospels, the red letters.
Yep.
Because I didn't feel like I could understand, you know, the Old Testament and things, but I got to know Jesus pretty good there in the beginning. So yeah. I'm just sticking with the red letters. And I right. think that makes a huge difference, too.
It does.
For new believers, just to come to know who Jesus is first. So now I'm a little bit more interested in the Old Testament and right. the parallels and all of the things. But and I'm coming to see it's all connected.
Yep, that it is. So,
we appreciate you coming and sharing with us. Before we sign off, would you like to let us know how people could sow seed into your ministry? Yep. Let them know how to get a hold of you about your home group.
You bet. So we meet each Wednesday night here in Elk City. We meet in our home right now until we're finished with the building. We have acquired a building that will become the Fivefold Training Center. Right now we meet from Wednesday nights from 6:30 to 8. We do food fellowship, and then from 7 to 8-ish, my teaching. However long I go that night, I try not to keep people too late. Mm-hmm. But I have quit putting a timetable on God. I just allow God to do his thing, and if you want to hang around, then you can hang around. If you need to go, you can go. But anyway, 6:30 to 8 o'clock-ish on Wednesday nights, that's our home group. Just reach out on this post if you're interested in finding that, or just shoot me a message on Facebook, and I can get back to you there with information on that. I do post weekly teachings on my Facebook account from my Rumble, but I also do have a Rumble channel. That is at Firewalker77 is my handle there on Rumble. That can be downloaded on an iPhone, Android, or the Roku app for
Roku.
TV. So I do have a channel that's on there. There's over 20 plus teachings on there already. So there are definitely some things that just encourage you along the way, build you up on that. But I always encourage people. And again, kind of like we talked about, if you got, you know, I get it. Like those teachings and things are great for like, hey, I've got an hour commute from here to there. Mm. Grab a teaching, you know, but don't let that take the place of you plugging in with other brothers and sisters in Christ. There's such a need and a necessity for that, where it's one-on-one, it's face-to-face, it's hearing each other's voice and hugging each other's necks. Like, make that a priority in your life if you don't. Because I know, especially when things kind of get hard, a tendency is to pull back from all those things. So just an encouragement there. But again, I do have Venmo for electronic blessings. If you wanted to do that, again, same handle, Firewalker 77 for Venmo. Or just reach out to me if you would like to sow a seed. We are, and I've talked about that a little bit on here. I told God at the beginning of this building was bought for me. And I mean, I told him from the get-go, if this is what you have for me, I'm not doing the traditional beating the streets for monetary funds. Like, you're going to do this in a way that everybody that's watching sees you did this. And so I have not pulled one fundraiser. I haven't knocked on one door. I haven't asked a single person for a dime. When I have the opportunity like this to share, I will share those avenues because I see that those are important. But if you want to sow into this ministry, we are pretty much done with the demolition of the building. And now we're at the point where we're ready to start putting it back together. So if you want to be that part of that, just reach out to me. Again, you can find me on Facebook. That's an easy public forum to find me on. You reach out to me that way and you can sow into this ministry.
Thank you. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power, and I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of the day. For myself, Tina Dobbs, and our guest this morning, Jason Mung, y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.